Well, excited to be with you guys here this morning, and we're going to be diving into a new series today. That's always fun. I like change. I'm kind of a change guy, and so let's dive into something new together. Our series is going to be called Wise Up, and that means that it's from the book of Proverbs. And so if you would, open your copy of Scripture to the book of Proverbs. If you don't have a copy, raise your hand, and our ushers would be delighted to bring you one. If you don't own one, I'm going to encourage you a little bit later to be in that in a specific way. And so let me encourage you to take that home and begin to read it. It's going to change your life. Well, one of the fun things for the men in our family every spring is the notion of getting the boat out of storage and ready to go fishing. And this past April, in between times of heavy snow, there was actually a moment where the rivers were open and the snow was off the grass, and the boys and I looked at each other and we said, let's do it. Let's go get the boat. And so we went into the backyard and we pulled the tarps off of the boat that was hiding underneath our deck, and we drained the water that had seeped in from the melting snow. And we started to pull the boat out by hand. And we got it. It was going along swimmingly until we encountered the slight hill that's in our yard. And we thought, this isn't going to be as easy as we thought it would be. And so, you know, we're thinking, well, what are we going to do here? We have to go fishing. That's not an option not to. So we got to get this thing going. And a thought crossed my mind. The previous summer, I had been in the backyard with my truck many times. And I had brought dirt back there, sand and whatnot. And I thought, you know, if we had the truck, I mean, this thing would go a lot better, a lot faster. Let's go get the truck. And then as I took a step towards the truck, the ground beneath me squished just a little bit. And I had this tension. I had this notion, maybe my 2000 Toyota Tundra rear-wheel drive with 190,000 miles on it has been stuck before in similar situations. Maybe I ought not use the truck. But my ambition and my optimism got the better part of my wisdom. And so I grabbed my keys and I started backing down the hill, and I hooked that boat up to my truck. And I thought, you know what, guys, this is going to work. Well, things were going okay until I encountered the ditch in front of the street at the end of our yard. And of course, the ditch had a divot in it where it was wetter than the rest of the yard. And I tried to drive that truck up with the boat. And of course, again, I became hopelessly stuck. What was the problem? I lacked wisdom. It was foolish. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. And isn't it true that we lack wisdom in so many ways? I know some of you, look, I would never do that, you'd say. I'd never put my truck on a wet lawn, and praise be to God for you. I did. But we all lack wisdom in different parts of our lives, whether it's doing a backyard spring project or navigating our family life or acting skillfully in our workplace. We need wisdom. Now, fortunately, we have a tremendous resource. We have an amazing resource, a fount of infinite wisdom and knowledge. It's a 24-hour access to whatever we need to know. It's YouTube. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? You know, YouTube, that great how-to website where you can type in a question. You get 6 million different ways to change a leaky faucet. It's awesome. But I wonder, though YouTube offers us a plethora of information, of how-to knowledge, of wisdom, you might say, why aren't we happier as a society? Why do anxiety and fear linger? Why do we still do stupid things like drive our truck in our yard in the early spring? Maybe YouTube isn't all it's cracked up to be. Maybe there's something more. And so we ask, how do we discover true, life-giving, God-honoring, lasting wisdom? Some might say the school of hard knocks. And I suppose that's possible. Some might say through academic knowledge, and perhaps. And some might say through self-discovery. Possibly. But we've been trying to grow in those areas since the beginning of history, and it's still left us in the same place. And I'm not convinced that we're any happier, any more fulfilled as a society than we were 200 years ago. Or even 2,000 years ago. And perhaps you'd agree. So then how, in fact, do we discover true, life-giving, God-honoring wisdom beyond just a simple how-to manual like YouTube, to the kind that impacts our whole lives and the lives of those around us? In other words, this morning we're going to ask the question, how do we wise up? Well, enter the Bible, and specifically the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is compiled by King Solomon. It's written by Solomon and a few others. And it amounts to so much more than a simple how-to manual. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And church, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then we might be wise rather than simply consulting YouTube or any other number of sources. We might be wise to discover what the Lord says about having wisdom. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be in this great book together, introducing each other to the wisdom of God. And so let's go to the Proverbs. Would you follow along as I read? We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 this morning. And I'm going to begin here with just verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. This is the title of the book. They're the Proverbs. Now, what is a proverb? Well, in English, a proverb is a short, pithy statement that expresses a principle or a rule. It's something like this: curiosity killed the cat. You ever heard that? It's memorable, it's to the point, and it reminds you when you're tempted to snoop on your Christmas presents from your wife that there's danger in that. That's not a good idea. Another example: haste makes waste. We've heard of that before, right? It says so much in so few words. These are modern proverbs. Now, in ancient culture, proverbs were very common. We have numerous examples of ancient Near Eastern literature that reflect proverbial wisdom, often written by a monarch to his protege. But specifically here in the Bible, we have a collection of wisdom that's not only gathered from deep experience and vast knowledge, but it's gathered in the context of God working out His specific purposes with His specific people. This is the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, in the line of Jesus Christ, in order that His people would glean wisdom. And not just the kind that comes from YouTube, but the kind that shapes us to live the life that God has called us to live. And so these are the Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's keep reading here in verse 2 and all the way through 6. The Proverbs are for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Let's ask the question this morning, why were the Proverbs written? Why were they written? Well, first, they were written for a purpose. They had purpose. I want you to notice the infinitives there in verses 2 through 4 and verse 6. And if you don't know what an infinitive is, no big deal. I'll just show you what they are. Verse 2, for gaining, for understanding. Look at verse 3, for receiving. Verse 4, for giving. Verse 6, for understanding. Those are infinitives. And we ask, what makes the Proverbs better than YouTube? What's their purpose? Two observations. First, the Proverbs are to increase our knowledge. To increase our knowledge. King Solomon was a Renaissance man in so many ways. 1 Kings 4, 29 to 34 reveals Solomon to be a man of broad knowledge, of many skills. And verse 29 says that he had a vast understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon was the wisest in all the earth. He wrote songs, he was a botanist, he was a zoologist. And people from all over the world came to hear him teach. And the Proverbs, in part, are intended to pass on this God-given wisdom to the people of God. The word the NIV translates gaining is translated elsewhere as to know or as learning. And it's a word that emphasizes more than just a cognitive knowledge about something, but instead an intimate and experiential knowledge. See, I can know something about space travel by reading about it, but I can't know space travel until I've been to space. And the purpose of the Proverbs is certainly to impart cognitive knowledge, but it's so much more than that. It's to impart knowledge that impacts our experience. And so the Proverbs are for knowledge, for gaining wisdom. We ask, what is wisdom? Verse 2. Well, wisdom is that which helps one know how to navigate life's challenges. It's that which one would desire to kick in when one thinks one ought to drive his truck into his yard in the early spring. It's that which makes me agree with Proverbs 19:2. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? I've had to apply that so many times. The purpose of the Proverbs is for knowledge, for gaining wisdom, but it's also for gaining instruction, verse 2. For gaining wisdom and instruction. 15:32 of the book of Proverbs says this, "Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence." Did you know none of us were born with everything we need to know? Of course, you've met people who seem to try to prove the contrary, right? But we all need instruction. One of the really fun things about being a dad is watching my kids grow and mature. And one of the ways that gives evidence of that is their ability to receive instruction. And we have these moments where Christy and I speak into their lives and we see light bulbs go off, and it's exciting. And the sign of their maturity isn't so much how much they know, although they know a lot more than they used to, but it's more in how they receive instruction. And I'm so proud of my kids when they can receive instruction in constructive ways. We're instructing, Christy and I, our goal is to instruct our kids in the ways of life. And the Proverbs are meant to do the same. They're for wisdom and instruction. Now, a quick word before moving on, something we need to sort out here right from the beginning of our study. The Proverbs have often been misused in given situations because they've been misunderstood, okay? The Proverbs offer true principles, but they aren't all necessarily specific promises. Okay? You see the difference? The Proverbs offer true principles, but they aren't necessarily specific promises. So let me demonstrate. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says this. It offers this principle: lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Now, does this mean that lazy people are never wealthy? We can look around Hollywood, and see that not be true. I don't know why I said that. Didn't plan to. Yeah. Sometimes lazy people are wealthy. Does it mean that all people who are diligent in their work are wealthy? No, we can find examples there too. But it does mean that generally those who are lazy are going to struggle financially, and those who are diligent are going to be able to put food on the table. And so when we hear a proverb like this, this principle rings around in our mind when we're sitting at work thinking, ought I hang out on Facebook and chit-chat, or ought I get my work done? Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Best get to work. So the purpose of the Proverbs is to add to our personal experience, to add knowledge to our personal experience through wisdom and through instruction. But it's not just a knowledge thing, it's also an ethics thing. Verse 3, the Proverbs are for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, in doing what is right and just and fair. The Proverbs impact our ethics. They instruct us in prudent behavior, that kind of behavior that determines how we live with other people. Will other people experience right by us, or will they be wronged? Will we be agents of justice, acting for truth and for other people's benefit, or will we simply be consumers guarding what are our needs or our wants? Will we be fair with those over whom we have authority, Or will we be fair with those who have authority over us? They're ethical questions. And the Proverbs teach God-honoring ethics. Proverbs 12:19 reassures us that acting ethically stands the test of time. It says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You want to get ousted from a job quick? Start lying. But you want to last in relationships, in your job, in your families? Tell the truth. It's a simple ethical observation, but it has profound implications, doesn't it? So the purpose of the Proverbs, they're for knowledge, for what we know, and they're for ethics, how we live, who we are. And so, if the Proverbs are to grow our knowledge and they're to impact our ethics, who then are the Proverbs for? Well, let's look again at verse 4. It says, the Proverbs are for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Turns out the Proverbs are for people, right? They're for people, and particularly, they're for the simple. They're for the simple, the young, those whose experience is not yet adequate for their station. Some might say the gullible. When I was young, I was hiking with my brother, and he was much wiser than I was at age 10. I was probably around age 8, and his hiking experience was far more vast than mine. And that's why I believed him when he said that those little holes, in fact, they felt like big holes that we saw along the hiking path, were actually for ferocious man-eating badgers. He was so mean. And as I walked by, I felt the tension, and Matt kind of lingered behind me, and he all of a sudden yelled out, "Badger!" And I took off running, and I almost broke my toe. I remember it hurt. I slammed it on a stick or something like that. I was gullible. I was simple, to be sure, and should have I had more wisdom, I wouldn't have fallen for his evil trick. The Proverbs are for those who need discretion. Guys, there are so many decisions flying around at us over and over and over. No matter what you do for a job, no matter where you are in your family, we need discretion. And what we need isn't so much the YouTube answer, but instead we need principles that help us face our questions within a framework that gives us the ability to make the best decision possible in a God-honoring way. It's like this. Proverbs 15:22 would say to a young, simple leader this, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. That's good wisdom, isn't it? It's helpful for a young leader. Use discretion. Acknowledge your inexperience and benefit from others. It's wisdom. Raymond C. Ortland Jr. offers this example. He says that discretion is the caginess that sees through the temptations coming at us every day, for example, through advertising. God wants to give us the deep character that can't be fooled by anyone, can't be fooled anymore. He can help us outfox our temptations. Isn't that good? I want to outfox my temptations. I want to act wisely. Turns out buying a Toyota Tundra doesn't solve every issue. You can still get stuck in the yard. And the Proverbs are for the young and the simple who need discernment, who need guidance. But guess what? They're not just for the young and simple, are they? They're also for the wise. Keep reading, verse 5. It says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Turns out the wise can always become wiser. Isn't that true? Here's what I've found for myself. The more I think I know Scripture, the more I realize that I don't. The more I realize that I miss. Just this past Wednesday, I was having a quiet time in the morning, just spending some personal time with God, and I opened up to a new book. I'd been in one and was ready to move on. And I opened up to 1 Peter. And I decided to read the whole book, a practice that I sometimes use when I'm beginning a new book of the Bible in my personal study. And I read the whole thing, and as I read, I was struck with how much I hadn't remembered about 1 Peter. And I've taken seminary courses in 1 Peter. I've been taught it in sermon series. I've read it numerous times. But I was humbled as I read by how much I didn't remember and didn't know. And I'm not going to put myself in the category of the wise, but I've been around for a while in the faith. I've been a Christian for 37 years. And I was humbled by what I read and didn't remember. And when we read here in verse 5, this exhortation to let the wise listen and add to their learning, to let the discerning get guidance, I think this dynamic is what the author has in mind here. Church, once we think we've arrived, we need to watch out. We need to be careful. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a wall. Unless we think we are wise in our own eyes, we better be careful. We've got more to learn. And on the flip side, the wisest among us are those who are still learning. They're those who are still learning. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. I was speaking with a mentor friend of mine who's perhaps the most learned person I've ever had the pleasure of spending extended time with. He was a brilliant teacher, and he has more scripture memorized than I have understood. And he said to me in his 80s, after teaching hundreds of classes in biblical exposition, he said, "You know, I'd like to go retake those classes. I want to learn from what the new professors are teaching." I thought, that's awesome. I'll never forget him saying that. Church, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. You're never too old. You're never too experienced. You're never too wise to be humbled by the depth of teaching in God's Word and the depth of wisdom that's represented here in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 15:14 says, "The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly." The Proverbs were written with purpose to add to our knowledge and to inform our ethics. And they were written to those less experienced, to the simple, to those who get their trucks stuck, but also to those with vast experience, to those who are wise. But still we ask, and you might still be asking this, in an age of information, in the age of YouTube and blogs and books and life coaches and self-help and you name it, what makes this book, the book of Proverbs, worth paying attention to over and above those other things? It's this. The wisdom is from God Himself. Look at verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I mentioned earlier that wisdom writings were common in the ancient Near East. But I want you to listen to this. None of the examples in ancient Near Eastern literature make the claim that the book of Proverbs is making. That the fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahweh, is the beginning of wisdom. The source of wisdom in the book of Proverbs and the source of wisdom in living the Christian life that goes beyond YouTube is the fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahweh. See, it's the foundation for the entire book. And we're not going to cover the whole book in 6 weeks, okay? In fact, we're just going to be in the first four chapters primarily. But what I hope to do is to uncover the core principles that will help you appreciate the book of Proverbs so that you can grow from it over a lifetime of learning, of discerning, of adding to that which God has given you. And verse 7 tells us, if you want to be wise, you must fear God. You can't be wise without fearing God. It's the foundation of wisdom. And it's not just one step in a linear process of becoming wise. It's not just where you start and then you leave that behind. Okay, I've got fear of God down and I keep moving. No, it's the foundation. And everything else from a wisdom standpoint is built on that foundation. And so if you remove the fear of God, you have nothing. You don't have wisdom if you don't fear God. And church, fearing God isn't cowering before God. It's not backing away from God in terror. It's simply acknowledging that He's the source of all good things in your life. It's being open to Him. Did you know that God is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-free, all-glorious God of the universe? It's acknowledging that. It's letting God instruct you. It's surrendering to His purposes for you. It's loving God, and it's loving others as God instructs. I so appreciate what Ortland Jr. says in this area as well. He says this. He says, the fear of the Lord is when we realize I am not the measure of all things. In fact, I am being measured. There is an objective reality that is God, and God is the source of wisdom and the source of glory. I'm not the measure of all things. I'm being measured. In church, verse 7 says that only fools despise wisdom and instruction. That word fool, foolish, comes up a lot in the book of Proverbs. And wisdom that is from God is rooted in the fear of God, but not in foolishness. Only fools assume they don't need what God offers. If what God says in His Word is true, and it absolutely is true, then it's foolishness to reject God. God's Word makes a claim that Jesus Christ, John 14, is the only way to God. And if we reject Jesus, we act in foolishness. Scripture is very clear that there is an eternity, a heaven and a hell. And if we reject Christ, we act in foolishness. It's not wise. And Proverbs 1 says, don't be a fool. Don't rely on yourself. Be wise. Fear God. Take His Word seriously. Look at Jesus. He makes some bold claims. What are you going to do with those claims? So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for you? I'm going to make three observations here by way of application. First, be humble. Be humble. Let the Proverbs remind you that you don't know everything, that you have plenty to learn. See, when you act pridefully, you only reveal your ignorance. I've never been exposed to be so ignorant as when I've acted pridefully. One might say it was pride that made me think I could bring that truck into the yard. I don't know. I've got worse examples I can come up with. But church, wise people are willing to receive instruction. They're willing to add to their understanding. They're humble. Are you? Second, be gracious. Remember, what you know ought to impact who you are in relationship with other people. When you treat people poorly, not doing what is just and right and fair, you reveal your deficiencies, your foolishness. You can't treat people poorly and claim wisdom. How you interact with other people reveals wisdom in you, or lack thereof. Wise people are gracious people. Are you gracious? So be humble, church. Be gracious. And third, be reverent. I like to listen to a lot of different podcasts. I like to read a variety of materials. And there's some smart things to be gained from many sources. But ultimately, all wisdom that doesn't begin with the fear of the Lord is empty. By what do you measure your standards? Wise people are reverent people first. Are you reverent? Church, it's time for us to wise up together. It's time for us to glean from the Lord that which He offers. And I suppose over time, as I let the Lord speak to me, my truck will get stuck less often. I hope so. But there's so much more at stake. There's so much more at stake. And I want to challenge you with something over the next 6 weeks. I want to challenge you to spend a few moments each day reading in the book of Proverbs. Okay? It's an easy read. It's an exciting read in so many ways. There are 31 chapters. And you might consider reading a chapter a day. And if you miss a few, you'll still get through the whole book in 6 weeks. If you don't want to read a chapter a day, just read a couple of Proverbs a day. But let the Word of God speak to you and grow you in wisdom. Let's do that together, okay? And when you're reading, ask yourself, what am I to know? How does this increase my knowledge of how God works? And what am I to do? How does this impact my ethics? How I live in the society, in the family, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in the church that God has placed me in? And ultimately, ask yourself, do I revere God so much? Do I fear Him in a Christ-exalting, God-honoring way so much that I'm willing to embrace His wisdom over whatever other temptation I face? Church, fear God. And as you do, look to Jesus. Jesus demonstrates perfect wisdom, perfect humility. You read the Gospels, what an amazing humility. What an incredible wisdom He demonstrates as He interacts with the broken and as He interacts with His antagonists. Look to Jesus, perfect grace, perfect reverence for the Father. And in so doing, let God's wisdom become your wisdom. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for meeting us here this morning in this place. Thank You for Your Word that reveals to us Your heart, Your character, Your glory. And Lord, we acknowledge here together this truth that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so for those of us who have rejected You, help us to turn back. Help us to reject foolishness. And that's a hard word. But Lord, it has significant implications because if what Your Word says is true, it can only be foolishness. Either Your Word is foolish or the one who rejects. It can't be something else. And Lord, we're convinced that Your Word is true. And so help us to turn towards You. And for those of us who've been walking with You for maybe a long time, Lord, would You add? Would You help us to grow? Would You help us to see? And would You sharpen us so that not only our knowledge, but also our actions of who we are makes an impact in the world around us? God, we love You and we trust You for all these things. And now, Lord, as we give with a heart of worship, desiring for You to be glorified. And we thank You for Your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen.